story is told of a college professor teaching a science class to freshmen. Perhaps Connor could have even been there this last semester. Welcome back from that first semester, Connor. But the professor pulled out a large 5-gallon jar and put it on the table in front of the students. And then he took a bucket of what we would call about golf ball-sized rocks, and he put dozens of them in that 5-gallon jar, and he asked the students, "Is the jar full?" And one freshman said, "Of course it is." And the freshman said, "Sure." And then he took what we would call like marble size. And he took a bucket of marble-sized pebbles, and he poured hundreds of them into the jar, and they slowly filtered down into all the spaces between the large rocks. And he said to the students, "Is the jar full?" And the students kind of had this look, "Well, yeah, it has to be full." And he said, "No, it's not." And then he pulled out a bucket of sand, and he began to pour that sand into the jar and shifted a little bit, and the sand began to filter down, began to fill all the spaces all the way up to the brim. And the professor said, "Is the jar full?" And the student said, "Oh, of course it is now." And then the professor took out water, and he began to pour water into the jar until every air bubble had finished and it was full all the way to the top. And this time he asked the students, "Now, what does this demonstration teach us?" And students thought for a bit, and one freshman said, "Well, it teaches us that no matter how busy we are, we can always put something more in our life." And the students went, "Yeah, that's got to be it. That's got to be it." And the professor said, "While that would seem to be a good observation, it's incorrect." He said, "The lesson is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all." Let me suggest that as we approach another new year, our life can be compared to that empty jar as we approach 2019. And every one of us through the course of this next year are going to fill that jar to the brim. But we choose what we are going to fill it up with. Are we going to fill it up by rocks or pebbles or sand or water? And those are the equivalent of the choices that we are going to make this next year. Some of our choices are going to be minor, the equivalent of the water. What clothes are we going to wear? What movies are we going to see? That type of thing. Some of our choices will be the equivalent of the sand. Some will be the equivalent of the pebbles, and some will be the equivalent of the large rocks. But no matter what choices we make, one year from now, that jar we label 2019 will be full. And at the end of the year, we're going to have to ask ourselves, did we fill our jar properly? Did we fill it with the biggest rocks first, the things that are most important? Did we fill it with the smaller pebbles instead, the things that are good but not necessarily all that important? Or did we spend most of our time on the minor things that don't really count at all, the sand and the water? So the question becomes, how do you and I know if what we put into that jar we call 2019 is the equivalent of a big rock or the equivalent of water? Let me suggest that Jesus answered that question for us in Luke chapter 10 when he was visiting Mary and Martha, his probably closest friends on earth and one of the few people that would house him and he could just relax and be himself. Jesus sent word to Martha and Mary that he was coming. And Martha and Mary, like many sisters, like many people, had different personalities, different strengths, different weaknesses. Martha was the perfect hostess of the day. She was the original Martha Stewart. The eggs that she served for breakfast were always perfect. The fruit that she set out on the table was always fresh and sweet. Dinner was always on time and never overlooked. But Mary was different than her sister. She'd rather spend time with people than in the kitchen. And so when Jesus came, she chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he had to say. But not Martha. Martha wanted to be that perfect hostess. She wanted everything right for Jesus. There were sauces to stir. There was fruit to cut up. And you know how it is when you've got a lot of people in the house. No matter what you plan, it always runs later than it's supposed to. And for the person doing the cooking, sometimes that gets frustrating. And so Martha fell further and further behind schedule. And she got more and more stressed out. And finally, we know that Martha had enough. She just had it right up to the top. And she went to Jesus and she basically told Jesus in verse 40. It says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Can you just see her kind of venting at Jesus? Sometimes like we do. I love Jesus' answer. First, let me mention that the word distracted meant that Martha was literally drawn away. That all of her worries and all of her to-do list kept her away from Jesus. And that her to-do list was more important than spending time with Jesus. I would like to suggest that each one of us have the potential of being a Martha, and each one of us have the potential of being a Mary. And it's what we choose to do with our life. All of us want to do well, and I'm glad we do. We want to succeed, and sometimes that desire to do well and to succeed makes it easy for us to be caught up in everything there is to do around us. We want to please the people that we love and that are important to us. We want to please our boss. We want to please our parents and our children and our grandchildren and even our neighbors and coworkers. And the result can be, if we're not careful, the more we work, the more we find ourselves still with things to do. And the easier it is to be more and more pressured by life around us and by our to-do list and by all the things that seem to stretch out before us. And when that happens, it's easy for us to be just as tired and just as worn out and just as stressed as Martha does. Let me suggest that many of the things that we will be asked to do in 2019 are the equivalent of the pebbles and the sand and the water in that jar of life. They're good things, sometimes even essential things, but rarely are they the best thing, the biggest rock that we need to put in first. So my challenge to each of us as we approach 2019 is simple. Let's make sure that we put the biggest rocks in the jar first. And let me also suggest that the biggest rock of all is the priority of our relationship with Jesus Christ. I say that because of what Jesus told Martha when she was so distracted by everything that she had to do that day. After she had vented, Jesus absorbed all that, and then Jesus looked her in the face and he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried about upset and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Martha has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So what is that one thing that Jesus says we need more than anything else? Let me suggest that the answer is revealed in a movie that most of us have seen, Beauty and the Beast. But rather than showing you a film clip, most movies are based off of a book, and the book is so much more comprehensive than the movie can ever be. So let me read a scene from the original book that tells you that one thing that we all desire deep within our hearts. The scene is found near the end of the book, or so to speak, near the end of the movie, where Beauty feels that she has caused the death of the beast. And she searches throughout the castle for him and finally finds him in the garden. And notice what the book has to say. There she found the poor beast stretched out unconscious. She thought he was dead. Without concern for his horrifying looks, she threw himself on his body and felt his heart beating. So she fetched some water and threw it on his face. Beast opened his eyes and said, "You forgot your promise, Beauty. The grief I felt upon having lost you made me decide to fast to death. But I shall die content since I have the pleasure of seeing you one more time." "No, my dear Beast, you shall not die," said Beauty. "You will live to become my husband. I give you my hand and I swear that I belong only to you from this moment on. Alas, I thought that I only felt friendship for you. But the torment I am feeling makes me realize I cannot live without you." Beauty had scarcely uttered these words when the castle radiated with light. Fireworks and music announced a feast. But these attractions did not hold her attention. She returned her gaze to her dear beast, whose dangerous condition always made her tremble. How great was her surprise when she discovered the beast had disappeared, and at her feet was a prince more handsome than Eros himself, who thanked her for putting an end to his enchantment. The beast, a creature so ugly and so horrendous that no one could stand to look at him, was finally transformed into a handsome prince. That which was dark and ugly, had been transformed into something glorious and good. And let me suggest that that is the deepest yearning of our heart, to be transformed into more than we ever thought we could be. I want you to consider for a moment how much the theme of transformation occurs in the greatest stories that are told. Cinderella rises from the cinders and is transformed into a queen. The ugly duckling is transformed into a beautiful swan. Pinocchio is transformed into a real boy. Wretched old Scrooge becomes as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the city of London ever knew. The cowardly lion gets his courage. The scarecrow gets his brains. And the Tin Woodman gets a new heart. Beyond hope of hopes, they are all transformed into the person they always wanted to be but never thought they could be. Now, why are you and I enchanted by such tales of transformation? Why is transformation such an essential part of any story that is transmitted down from generation to generation, even century to century? Is it not because we all long to be transformed into someone better, to be more than we are now? And yet, so often we look at ourselves and we know that's impossible. There's no way you and I could ever be transformed. And so we settle for our hideousness. We settle for that condition, and it results in a dull, dreary, routine life. And yet deep within us, there's still that desire to be transformed if only we could be. And with that thought in mind, I want you to consider one more story. And it's my personal favorite story. I don't even know where it came from, but I came across it years ago. Long ago, there lived a handsome prince who reigned over his country with love and care. But a wicked witch came along and cast a spell on him and turned him into an ugly, warty frog. The frog prince was condemned to live by a lake and look at his ugliness forever. And his only hope that a beautiful princess would love him enough to kiss him and break that spell. So every time a beautiful princess came to the castle, he would hop over to her and in his froggy, croaky voice, ask for a kiss. And every beautiful princess would simply run away because they were frightened by what they saw. One day, another beautiful princess happened to come near the lake, and so once again, he hops up to her and he asks her for a kiss. And to his surprise, she didn't run away. But they sat and they talked for hours. And as she got ready to leave on impulse, she turned around and she kissed that ugly, wart-covered face of the frog and walked away. Excited, he went over to the lake and he looked into the surface of the lake and saw an ugly, warty frog face. Depressed as never before, his heart broke. The one dream that had kept him going for all these years, the one thought that he might finally be changed, was now shattered. And he realized that he was doomed to a lifetime of ugliness. The next day, to his surprise, the princess came back to the lake. And again, they talked. And again, she gave him a kiss, but he knew he was ugly. The princess had to stay there for a while. And so day after day, week after month, the pattern continued. They would talk. They would become good friends. She would always leave with a kiss. And one day he said, "Why in the world do you always kiss me? How can you kiss someone like me?" And she said, "Have you taken a look at yourself?" And so he went over to the lake. And there, staring back at him, was a handsome prince that he had always yearned to be. I love that story because to me, it's the story that we find in Scripture. In the beginning, God created us to be beautiful people. But the most wicked witch of all, the one that we call Satan, came along and cast a spell on us in a manner of speaking and caused us to sin and turned us into the ugly frogs that we sinners became. But within our sin, we are always hoping that someone could change us back into that person that God had made us to be. But as the centuries rolled along, no one was powerful enough to change us. And finally, Jesus entered our world and said to us, "You can be transformed. You can be changed. You can be the person that you were before Satan turned you into a frog." And Jesus said, "But for you to become that person, you must be born again, which only we can do through Christ, because only Christ came to this earth as a human, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, died for our sins, and then rose from the grave to show that he was truly the Son of God." A lot of times when we meet Jesus, maybe because we've listened to so many fairy tales, when we are born again, we expect that Jesus is going to transform us instantly. And then we sin again. And we make another mistake. And we stumble and we fall. And we think, I guess we're just ugly people after all. So much so that not even Jesus can transform us. But what we don't realize is that Jesus wants us to be in that relationship with Him, like the beautiful princess and the frog, where day after day we spend time with Him, because Jesus is always there to spend time with us. The question is, will we answer His call? Because He wants us to know that as we spend time with Him, that transformation that we all desire is never going to be instantaneous. In fact, it'll never even be complete as long as we live on this earth. But only through time spent with Him, only through time listening to Him, only by time with His Word and with His people, will we find ourselves slowly over the years being transformed into the very image of Christ, someone more than we ever thought we could be. And we find our lives becoming more beautiful than ever. You see, Jesus does change us. He does transform us. But it takes time. And so the question as we approach 2019, if Jesus truly is the biggest rock in that jar we call life, how much time are we going to spend with Him this next year? How much time are we going to spend on the biggest rock versus the time we spend on the pebbles and the sand and the water? I challenge us all this morning for us to be truly transformed. Let's take the time to listen to Jesus when He stops by to be with us. Let's receive that kiss of love that Jesus wants to give us every day so that we can find the hope of transformation that we all desire. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the reality that You teach us about Jesus. I think many of us really desire life to be a fairy tale. That once that princess kisses us, or once we find the handsome prince or princess, then all is going to be well and life is going to be a fairy tale that ends happily ever after. And yet we know that's not the case. So this morning, help us to realize that there is a better life than a fairy tale. And that's called the abundant life. The one that begins with eternal life, the acceptance of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and continues every day as we spend time with You on this earth. Father, help 2019 to be a year of transformation for us individually, for our families, for this church. Help us to be so full of Jesus that we help change other people from frogs into the people they were designed to be as well. Thank You for the gift of transformation, which only You can give us. In Your Son's name, amen. Biggest Rock. We're in a 3-week series about priorities. And by the way, if you haven't taken a look at your bulletin, Richie did a great job on the visual for the cover. And so I just appreciate the work that he does. But we're going to be having an invitation in a moment. And if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's hard to spend time with Him if you haven't embraced Him. So we are going to offer you that opportunity, and we just encourage you, if you have that decision made, to become part of the church as well. That's another big rock that decision you can make, and we encourage that as well. Jeff's going to come forward. He's going to lead us in that song. Let's stand, and let's be prepared.